Would you turn back to Ephesians chapter 5? Verse 8. For you were sometimes, and that doesn't mean some of the time, it means before time. For you were before time darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, I've entitled this message, Children of Light. Children of Light. Now, notice it does not say you were sometime or before time in darkness, but it says you were darkness. You were darkness. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night and fond of darkness more than light, madly I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place. You were darkness, but now, this is one of those buts of the scripture that are so glorious, but God. You were dead in sins, but God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But you are now light in the Lord. Darkness. What does darkness represent? Well, if we turn off the lights in this room and we didn't have any windows and it was pitch black in here, what could you see? Absolutely nothing. Whatever is in here, you would know it was here, because you would be completely in the dark. Darkness represents ignorance. Darkness represents ignorance. But if the light is turned on, all of a sudden you see. You see what's in here. Light represents knowledge. I love that passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, but God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of the first creation, would you turn with me there to Genesis chapter 1? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. First thing in creation that's spoken of is light. Now, I think it's so interesting that in the fourth day, the sun and the moon and the stars were created. This is not talking about that kind of light. This is talking about the uncreated light. We have the gospel in these very opening verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God. And then we read of the fall. He didn't create the earth without form and void. I don't know what took place for this to take place, but we can only speculate, and we can't even do that really, but God didn't create the earth without form and void, but somehow the earth became without form and void. That's the fall. And the Spirit of God moved on the waters. God the Spirit moved upon this dead soul, this dead thing without light, filled with darkness, without form, and without void. The Spirit of God moved on these waters of darkness. And what took place? Light. This is the uncreated light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The creation begins with light. Now, what's the first thing that takes place in the new creation? Light. Light. You see now what you could not see before. You had no understanding or even desire to know anything about the character of God, but the light has been turned on, and now you know who He is. You know something about His character. You know something about His power and His holiness and His justice and His sovereignty. You used to didn't know that, but you do now. Why? Because the light's been turned on. And you now have an understanding of yourself you formerly did not have. You didn't see yourself as nothing but sin. You knew you did wrong things, and you even felt guilty about the wrong things you did. But you didn't see yourself as completely evil, totally depraved. I tell you, I've said this so many times. You can believe in the doctrine of depravity, but it's another thing when you believe you're totally depraved. And you have light concerning how God saves sinners by Christ. You just didn't have a clue. But now you do, because God has enlightened you. Children of light. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them. That's talking about me and you. Which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now Paul says, I'm the pattern. If God saves you, He's going to use this pattern He used in saving me. You're going to be saved the same way I'm saved. You're going to believe the same things I believe. You're going to experience the same things I've experienced. It's all the same. My only hope is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, because I'm a sinner. And my only hope that He came to save me is because I fit that description. But Paul says, I'm the pattern. I'm the pattern. Now, he's talking about his conversion experience. What happened when Paul was saved? What was the first thing that took place when Paul was saved? He was on the road to Damascus to kill believers. And what took place? A great light shone round about from heaven. A great light. And what did Paul do? He fell to the ground. His salvation, as far as his experience goes, began with light. Light as to who God is. Light as to who He was. And if we're saved, we're going to be saved the same way Paul was saved. We're going to have the same experience Paul experienced. It begins with light. Turn to John 1. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. He was a distinct person. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was. Now that's talking about His eternal isness. When you read that passage of Scripture, don't say the same was in the beginning. Say the same was. Eternally was. In the beginning with God. When we quote John, whoso confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, but whosoever confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he's of God. Well, to confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is to confess that he was eternally before he came. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the creator. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. By him all things consist. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life, the life. Remember what the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only life that I can enter heaven by is his life. My history better be his history. That's the only way I can enter heaven. This life, the life, this, we're really living. Oh, really? This is the life. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the life of every believer, the righteousness of every believer. The life was the light of men. In him was life. He is the independent being. He has life in himself and is the source of all life. And the life is the light of men. You know what that means? That means if you have any light from God, you know the only life you have is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your life before God. That's how precious this is to you. Look in John chapter 3. Well, let's go to verse 5. Verse 5, let me read that too. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, I've read everything I could about what that verse of Scripture means, and that there's basically, people give two views, and I think they're both true. They're both true. When the light's turned on, where's the darkness go? Ever thought about that? They say the word comprehended could be that. You're in a totally dark room, you come in, turn on the light, and the darkness disappears. It's gone. Where'd it go? I don't know, but it's gone. It's not there anymore. And it can also mean this. Someone in darkness cannot comprehend the light because they don't have a seeing eye. You see, it takes more than light to see, doesn't it? You have to have a seeing eye given to you in the new birth by the grace of God. And you can't, it might be light all around you. You might be hearing nothing but light and truth. And it's meaningless if you don't have a heart to believe and a heart to receive, a heart to see. Turn to John chapter 3. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. They don't want to be in the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed. He wants to stay away from the light. He doesn't like what the light shows. But he that doeth truth. This is such an important phrase. It doesn't say he that believes truth. It says he that doeth truth. Truth is something you do. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And that can just as easily be translated, and I think it should have been translated this, his deeds were wrought by God. Now, I am not ashamed to bring what he did to the light. I don't want to bring what I've done to the light. I can see why they want to stay away from the light. But I'm not ashamed to bring what he did to the light. His life, his righteousness. Oh, I'll bring that. The faith that he's given. The repentance he's given. It's His work. It's God that works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. I'll bring that to the light. I'm not afraid to bring what He has done to the light. I love what He said to John the Baptist, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid to bring what He has done to the light as my only way into His presence. John chapter 8, verse 12, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, the then is very important. After this event, then spake Jesus unto them, I am the light of the world. Now, this first 11 verses of John, the Pharisees have planted somebody. I don't have any doubt about it. They caught this woman taken in adultery in the very act, and I have no doubt they planted somebody to see that this really did take place. And one wonders, why didn't they bring the man? He should have been stoned too, but somehow they saw him too, but he wasn't brought, but they bring this woman. And they said, Master, let's look in chapter 8, verse 1. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. This is not gossip. This is not innuendo. This, we have eyewitnesses that prove that she did this. Now, Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. We've got him in a no-win situation. If he says, stone her, where's your mercy? Where's the forgiveness you speak of? I thought you were the friend of publicans and sinners. It's all talk. If he says, let her go free, why, you don't have any respect for the law. The law says stone her, and you're saying, bypass that. You don't have any respect for the law. It's wrong. They thought they had him in a place where he could not get away. They thought, and these thinking you can stump divine omniscience? I don't think so. But so when they continued asking him, verse 6, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. We're given almost his body language while this was taking place. Are you listening to us? No. No. He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And you've heard me say this before. There's only two times in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where the finger of God was used to write. What's the first time? The writing of the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. What's the second time? The writing on the wall in Daniel chapter 5, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Now, I don't have any doubt that when he said this next statement, it's because all of these men were guilty of this sin. Not some other sin, but this sin. So look what he says. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. Go for it. And he stooped down and wrote on the ground. There's a second stoop. These two stoops represent his two stoops. He stooped when he became a man. What a stoop when the eternal God became confined to the flesh, to never be anything but that again, a man. And what a stoop when this man was made sin and bore all the horror and the vileness and the wickedness of sin. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Two stoops. Verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, they weren't convicted by the Holy Spirit, because if they were convicted by the Holy Spirit, you know what they'd be doing? They wouldn't be leaving Christ, would they? They'd be coming to him for mercy. And they would have been received. But no, they're convicted of their own conscience. And went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, this is after these two stoops, and this represents him standing on resurrection ground. He became a man, he became sin, and now he's raised from the dead. And he's speaking to this woman on resurrection ground. And this is how he can do this. He said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Is there nothing to bring to your charge?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Then spake Jesus again unto them, "I am the light of the world. I am the light." As to how I can take this woman that is guilty and say, there's nothing to condemn her for. He's speaking on resurrection ground. Her sin has all been put away, and she stands before God without guilt. Now, you were, before being illuminated, darkness itself. You were completely ignorant of the character of God. You were completely ignorant of your own personal sinfulness and depravity. And you were completely ignorant as to how he saved sinners by Christ. You had a little God. You had a big you. And you had a view of salvation where you got some of the credit. And now you don't want anything like that. Because you know that if you get any of the credit, that means salvation in some way dependent upon you. And you're repulsed by that. You want to just simply be found in Christ. Now you're light in the Lord. And I love the way he doesn't say, now you're light. You were darkness, now you're light. But now you're light in the Lord. You see, it's in the Lord that I have acceptance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, to the good according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. How? In the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now this is the light we have. All of God's salvation is in Christ. And our only desire is to be found in him. Now, in our text, you are darkness, but now are ye light. Walk as children of light. Well, how do you go about doing that? Walk as children of light. We're actually going to be looking at this for the next several weeks as we go on into Ephesians chapter 5. But the key is found in these first two verses of Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Walk in light. Walk in love. Same thing. Same thing. In 1 John 4:7, John said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Now, he's not talking about natural love. He's not talking about the love between men and women. He's not talking about the love between parents and children. He's talking about this supernatural love that is the result of being born of God. "Let us love one another, for love is of God. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. "You are the light of the world." Now he said in the other scripture, "I'm the light of the world." But here he says, "You are the light of the world." You know, the only way the folks around you are going to have that light that you have is if you give it to them. It's not talking about this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It's not talking about that at all. This is talking about this supernatural light as to how God saves sinners by Christ. You are the light of the world. "A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a candlestick, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you," and say what a great Christian you are and how you're so much like Christ. You know, if that's what people come up with when you shine your light was darkness. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." That's, if men aren't glorifying your Father, which is in heaven, you didn't shine any light. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. John tells us what this thing of walking in the light is. This is so important. 1 John chapter 1. "Walk as children of the light." Let's read verses 6 and 7 first. "If we say we have fellowship with him." A lot of people make that claim. "I fellowship with God. I pray to God, he hears me. I speak to him, he speaks to me. I have fellowship with God. I have communion. I know God." If we say that, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, most folks, when they think of that verse of Scripture, they think, well, if you make a profession to know Christ, if you talk the talk but you don't walk the walk, if you practice secret sin in the dark that nobody else knows about, you can talk all you want about knowing God, but you don't know him. You're nothing but a hypocrite. Somebody that makes that statement about that passage of Scripture is very much of a hypocrite. That's a phony show. That's all it is. There's no truth to it. What he's talking about is walking in the darkness of salvation by works. Walking in the darkness of salvation by works. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light." That's the light of the gospel, isn't it? The light of how God saves sinners by Christ. "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us." Continual cleansing. Always cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, what do we have fellowship around? Can you have fellowship from that one who says, if you're sinning in private, don't think God's going to have anything to do with you. Can you have fellowship with that person? No. You think they're lying jerks. You don't have fellowship with that. You don't have anything to do with them. You don't like them. But someone who looks to the blood of Christ only as everything in their salvation, you have fellowship with that person, don't you? There is communion. Look up in verse 1. What led him to make this statement? That which was from the beginning, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal one, which we have heard, which we have seen. Notice the order. Hearing and seeing. You can't see what you've never heard. You've heard and you've seen. We've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life, for the life was manifested. And we've seen and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, and here's our purpose, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. Now, children of the light know something about this. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He's called by James the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's utterly immutable. He does not change. He cannot change. He will not change. He's the only immutable, and He's not a creature. He's a being. Everything else is creatures. But He's the only immutable being in the universe. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not even a shadow with Him. He's pure Godhead. There's no darkness at all. He's holy. He's sovereign. He controls everybody and everything. He controls the very thoughts going through your mind right now. He's absolutely just. There's nothing unjust about Him. He's independent. He has no needs. He's all-powerful. Whatever He desires, He has the power to perform. He's omnipresent. You can't go anywhere where He's not. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's good. God is light. He's the light. He's like, well, he's not like anything, but sunlight. Sunlight. Sunlight can touch you and come to you and embrace you without contracting any defilement from you. That's the way the Lord is. He can come and touch you without detracting any defilement, being altogether holy and glorious. There's no darkness at all in Him. Aren't you thankful for that? God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. Now, if we say, verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, the darkness of salvation by works. Here's one of the really dark things about it. Tell me exactly what it is you got to do. What else? What else? Keep going. There's never an answer. There's never an answer. There's vague thoughts, but there's never an answer. Nothing like believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's always something you need to do. Now, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, the light of how Christ could say to that woman, "Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? No man, Lord, neither do I condemn thee." If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now look at verses 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now there, the word sin is a noun. It's not talking about an action. You know, if all you see is sins, you don't have any understanding of sin. Sin is a noun, and He's talking about a sinful nature. If we say we have no sin, what do? We deceive ourselves. You've lied to yourself. You've told yourself a lie and you've taken the bait. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We've lost all credibility. In verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, there the word is a verb. And for regarding any action, it's in the present tense. If I would say regarding this sermon, well, I've not sinned in preaching this sermon, I'd be telling a lie, wouldn't I? It'd be wrong. If I give my best gift and I say, well, I didn't sin in that, yeah, I did. With regard to everything and anything you and I do, it's sin. You believe that? It's sin. If I did it, it's sin. If you did it, it's sin. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. When I take my good works and my bad works and I compare them to each other, I can't tell the difference. And the best thing for me to do is to throw them all overboard and come into the kingdom of heaven on the plank of free grace. If we confess our sins. Now, this thing of the confession of sin is not naming them audibly to the Lord. Now, if you know what they are, it's a good thing, Lord, I confess I did that. Please forgive me. That's a good thing. But that's really not what the confession of sin is all about. The word confess means literally, is made of two words, which means speak the same thing. If you confess your sin before God, you speak the same thing God says with regard to your sin. You're a complete agreement with what God says with regard to your sin. Guilty as charged. You agree with God. If it means confess all your sins, you've heard me say this, there's not enough time in the day, and most of the sins you've committed, you don't even know you committed them. You're just ignorant of them. So it doesn't mean to verbally confess each sin. Me and you are in trouble if that's what it means. But it means to agree with God, to speak the same thing God says. Now, this is one of the most amazing verses of Scripture. If we confess our sins, it says He's faithful and just. We would think He's merciful and gracious. That's what we would use. Oh, He's so gracious, He's so merciful, He's so forgiving. But that's not what the Scripture uses. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. Faithful in what way? Well, the reason you're confessing your sins is because before time began, He decreed that you would do that. And it is His will coming to pass in time. It's Him being faithful to Himself. The only reason you have confessed your sins is because He decreed it before time began. It's all a part of His decree. Not only is He faithful to forgive us of our sins, Scripture says He's just. The very justice of God demands the salvation of every believer. It's a just salvation. It's a righteous salvation. The justice of God says, bring Him in. That's exactly what He deserves. He's kept my law perfectly. He's never sinned. He has a perfect righteousness before me. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that cleansing is continual. And you know, this is a glorious thing to think about. When I'm brought into heaven, I will not remember what it is to be a sinner. I will not be conscious of having ever sinned. I won't even know what sin is. I'll be perfectly holy, perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. But you know what? I'm going to look on my Redeemer. And although I'm not going to remember what it is like, I'm not going to remember anything that took place here. I'm not going to remember it. But I'm going to look at my Redeemer. And I'm going to see the scars on his hand and his feet. And I'm going to know the only reason I'm there is because of what he did. I won't be thinking, well, I must have been a good person. No, I'll know better than that. I'll know the only reason I'm there is because of him. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Now walk as children of light, the light of the gospel, the light of loving his people, the light of being an imitator of God. How do you go about imitating God? Well, obviously, there's some things you can't imitate him in. He's got attributes that are non-communicable, and you'll never be sovereign. You'll never be all-powerful. You'll never be omniscient. There's a lot of things you and I will never be. But I can imitate God in this. He knows his Son is everything in salvation. Me too. He knows his Son is altogether lovely. Me too. I imitate him in that. He is completely satisfied with the work of his Son. I am too. I'm not thirsting for anything else. I'm not looking for anything else. I'm completely satisfied. It's always not amused me. It's not the right word, but I just know they've never heard when somebody says, there's got to be something else. You just ain't ever seen. That's why. That's the only reason you say something like that. Who trusted Christ only for the salvation of his people? God did. I trust Christ only for my salvation. Be ye were darkness, but now are ye light. Walk as children of light. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you and praise you for the revelation of him. How we thank you and praise you for the salvation that's in him. How we thank you and praise you that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you would give us the grace to truly, before you, confess our sin and agree with what you say concerning our sin and look to Christ only as everything in our salvation. As we face this coming week, we ask that we might be enabled to walk as children of light. We ask that we might be the light of the world, that our lights would show shine before men, that they would see our good works and glorify thee, not us, but thee. We ask that you would enable us to preach your gospel for the glory of your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Dwayne, come lead us in closing.